Okay, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining. We're going to be speaking tonight about the effects of technology on our yeshivos, reflections from 30 years of chinuch. Probably there's no one sitting here who remembers what chinuch was like 30 years ago. If you would look into a classroom when I started teaching, I just completed my 34th year of teaching. Classrooms looked extremely different than they are now. Very, very different. So what I'd like to speak a little bit about is what aspects of those changes that happen in classrooms have been positive, and what aspects of those changes perhaps have been a bit challenging. And if anyone's going to walk out of here learning anything, to me it is extremely important that everyone be allowed to express their opinion. And I think it would be boring for everyone here if I would just muse on about what I think the differences are. I'd love to try to arrange a little bit of a discussion and involve you in a little bit of a discussion about this topic. So it looks like we have around 20, 25 people sitting here, something like that. So my question is, let's begin with some questions just to get us going. We'd love to have honesty from everybody here. This way we could really deal with truth, things being real. And also, there may be strong differences of opinion about some of the things that we're going to say, so please feel free to express your real opinion on these issues. How many people here have checked their phone in the last hour? Okay. Every single person. I got to raise my hand too. Every single person. How many people here typically spend more than 3 hours on their phone on a typical day? About 95%. So clearly, this is something that has caused change in the last 30 years. Can anyone think about what was the difference between a classroom 30 years ago and a classroom today? Can anyone suggest what was a difference between a classroom 30 years ago and a classroom today? Just what's your name?
Ellie Reich,
where are you from, Ellie?
Springfield, New Jersey.
Springfield, okay, yeah.
So I believe that it's probably people's attention spans, right? I feel at least mine has progressively, like...
You've seen your own attention span go progressively less over time. I could definitely say I've been teaching for 34 years, and I used to be able to teach like a long Tosfos. Sometimes you have a very long Tosfos from the beginning to the end. It's definitely become much, much harder for people to focus for long periods of time. And education has had to change to address that. It used to be I could teach, you know, for an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes straight, and people would actually still remain focused. But no longer is that true. People need more breaks. People need more breaks because they're used to things hitting them a lot faster. When you scroll, your things are hitting you faster, so it's harder to sit and focus. No question. Can anyone suggest to me something positive? Give me a positive, something positive that technology has brought to your school. Tell me something that it's done positively for you. What's your name?
Theo Frankel.
Theo Frankel from where?
Boston,
where do you go to school?
Maimonides.
Tell me something positive that technology has brought to school.
It's much easier to do research.
Much easier to do research. There's so much available. So much more material available. When I started teaching 34 years ago, if somebody wanted to do research, you had to go to the library, you had to take out a book, you had to bring it home and find the right page. Now, a couple of clicks, Information is so much more readily available to people. Information, you could find that information so much more quickly than things started. A positive, definitely a positive. Someone else, give me another positive. Hey, Nathaniel Fischel, great to see you. Someone else, another positive that technology, Akiva. For teachers to prepare materials is easier. Teachers have a lot more materials from which to gain from. Has anyone ever used online programs to help tutor you in something that you didn't understand well? Please raise your hand. How many people have used? So it used to be like if you didn't get it from the teacher, you were cooked. That was it. Where are you going to get it from? But now there's so many online programs. How many people have you ever used like Khan Academy to teach you something that you didn't understand or something like that? Something like that. Probably 3/4 of you have used. Or you need change a tire on your bicycle or something. I mean, anything you need to know how to do, there's a video that can teach you how to do it. So there have been some positives. One person mentioned before negative, someone said attention span. Can someone else, can you suggest what might be some negatives that you see about tech in school? Something negative that you might have experienced that you think you want to be honest about tech is negative. So what do you say, Ari?
I was thinking it's always just like a back and forth with the teacher. It's like this teacher says you have to put away the technology and then it's like the kids are always having it out. So if that didn't exist, then when that didn't exist, that was less of a thing.
Well, let's get right into that for a second, okay? How many people attend a school that the school requires you to not have? How many people go to a high school that you have to hand in your phone at the beginning of the day? You get it back maybe, let's say, lunch, or you don't get it back at lunch. How many people go to a school now that the schools take away your phone at the beginning of the day? How many people do not go to a school that they take you away? That they take their phones away? Yeah, what school is that? Maimonides does not take the phones away.
No.
What else?
Ida Crown
does not take the phones away. Most of the schools do. How do you guys feel about that? I want to know. First, let's hear from the guys who they don't take the phones away. Let's hear from those guys first. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about having your phone on you throughout the day? What do you feel?
I think it's good because you get a sense of responsibility and you don't have to deal with having your phone on you as an adult to deal with time management.
Okay. What do you say? As Emmett? Is that Emmett?
Yeah. It's kind of like depressing. Like, kids will all just like pass by each other and not like actually talk to each other.
Like that. Going like this, right? So I can tell you that I'm involved in an organization that has about 65 principals of high schools throughout the United States. We have an organization. We talk to each other. We get together twice a year in person, but we talk a lot in between. I can tell you 3 years ago, there were very, very, very few schools that were taking phones away from kids. And this year was the first year. How many kids go to a school that this year is the first year that your school decided to take phones away from kids? What school is that?
Heschel.
It was the first year. How'd that go? How did it go?
I would say, like, it's honestly not as big of a difference as I expected it to be. Like, people, like, always talk to each other. Phones were never, like, allowed in the classroom. So, like, it's not really that different. To be honest, it's just more annoying because I have to wait, like, 15 minutes, like, to put my phone away and then to take it back.
So one thing a lot of people here are speaking about, I think a lot of people, and this is really going to be my most major take-home message for you on this topic, because we could, you know, I don't need to bore you with the way classes were 30 years ago. I mean, there used to be blackboards that have chalk. Teachers used to use chalk to write. I mean, okay, that's cute, but at the end of the day, you know, chalkboards to smartboards, now everything's digital. Very nice. That's a change. Is that a positive change? I think it's probably a very positive change. Graphics are much more clear. It makes it easier to learn. Things are, on a chalkboard. I can't even imagine how we did it as kids, but we would go in there and the teacher would like have to like scratch with a piece of chalk so there are definitely a lot of positives. But the one take-home message that I want to stress, and I want to relate it to a few different things, is like anything in life, I am very much not a person, and I feel really, really strongly about this. There are a lot of people who like to like just complain about, oh my gosh, you know, life is just so difficult now because of phones, or life is so difficult because everyone's in tech. Well, I don't believe in that. You know, Hashem gives us challenges, and if Hashem gave us challenges, it means that Hashem thinks that we can deal with those challenges. We just have to learn how to manage them. We have to learn how to manage them. We have to learn how to not be too crazy and too addicted. You know, I imagine that for some people to sit through what I'm speaking right now and not to like pick up your phone and like check it in the middle is like, it's a tremendous nisayon. But just like so many things in life, to learn moderation, to learn how to do things. And honestly, I have to learn this as much as each of you does. I have to learn it. I'm also addicted to my email. I'm very addicted. I get a lot of emails a day. People want responses from me. I get a lot of texts during the day. People want responses from me. And if I would just, you know, sometimes if I'm learning, I'm preparing something, I need focus and attention, and everything keeps buzzing and people keep on wanting my attention. I have to make fences also. I have to take my phone and put it aside and say, now I'm going to focus. So what I'd like to do is talk about eight areas where I feel like technology, the interplay, and again, most of it has to do with school. Everything, all of it has to do with school, but the truth is, it's not just about school. It's really about life. It's really about how you are in life. And I want to discuss these eight areas, and I hope that you'll find that to be something productive, something important. And again, with the stress being on moderation, I believe moderation is such an important thing to learn in every aspect of life, right? I hate always giving the same example. Some of you have heard me speak about this many times, but like one of the things I'm very into moderation about is food. Whatever, I end up talking about food a lot. But moderation, you know, there's people, just as an example, people like go way too crazy eating like crazy amounts of food, and everything's about food, and everything, you go to weddings and it's like insane. So whatever, I feel like in life, moderation is a very, very important goal to have in everything you do. But when it comes to tech, I think it's super, super, super important. So let's talk a little bit about how technology, someone mentioned it before, someone said here before, I think it was Emmett actually who said it, but I could be wrong, that it's sad. He was saying it's sad, and I definitely saw this in our school. And one of the main reasons that we decided to ask the kids to hand in their phones at the beginning of the day is because we wanted kids and rebbes to be talking to each other. We wanted kids and kids to be talking to each other. We wanted kids and teachers, like if you didn't understand something, to stay after class. And like, if you have your phone on you, and it's so then the second class is over, you're right away checking your mess. You in the hallway, you're not talking to a rebbe, you're not talking to a friend, you're not talking to people. So we really felt that in relationships, knowing how to like separate from the phone would really, really, really help relationships. Let's talk about that a little bit. What do you guys feel about that? A guy and a girl are going on a date. They're going on a date, and they got their phones in their pocket. What does that say when you are communicating with people only through texting? Is there any difference between communicating with someone through texting or through communicating with somebody in person? Can we speak about this a little bit? What do you say, David?
When you text, there's no like emotion when you're speaking to someone, or when you're in person,
Very excellent. Excellent, excellent. I can't stress this enough. And I know, and I'm not telling you, I want to be clear. I hope you never get this impression from me in anything that I say, that you can't do this, you shouldn't be doing this. I don't feel like that at all. Texting is here, it's gonna keep on happening. People are gonna continue to text, and people should. But what I want to call your attention to is that it is a whole different experience when I'm speaking to you with when you could see my face and you could feel my emotion and you understand what it is. If you want to have a real relationship with someone, a real relationship, again, you guys are now in, 15, 16, for whatever you are, you're not holding by dating and going out. I'm just using that as an example. But we want you to have connections with your Rebbes and connections with your friends and to have real connections. And ultimately, you're gonna find somebody and you're going to have a very important connection with a person's wife. That's probably the most important relationship you're going to have in your life. But if it's in person, if it's present, of course, you can also text and you can also catch up. And yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a few minutes late. And all the husbands and wives, everyone, they all text. But a relationship in person that's actually it's a whole different conversation. It's a whole different discussion when you're in person. It's a whole different connection to a Rebbe. I know in our yeshiva, we try to stress a lot a connection to a Rebbe. So one of the reasons we want the phones away, at least to be able to let a real connection, a real relationship flourish. So when it's in person, when the relationship is in person, it's a whole different thing. I want to hear, are there any schools that still do parent-teacher conferences online? Do you do parenting? Raise your hand if your school does parent-teacher conferences online. There's no in-person parent-teacher conferences. Still doing it online. What school is that?
Netzach
in Woodmere.
Yeah.
Netzach online. Howe Elementary School, our elementary school, they also do it online. And we feel so strongly in our school, we don't want them online. We want a parent and a teacher to be able to look at each other and talk to each other and speak. If your kid's education is important to you, show up in school. Come talk to the teacher. Show your kids that their education matters to you. Show up. When you do it online, it's like, they're like, they've got one hand on the coffee, they're doing 10 other things while they're going through the motions to hear from the teacher about X, Y, and Z. It's not as real. It's not as authentic, and we feel so strongly about that. Even though, yeah, it's much more convenient to have parent-teacher conferences online. But if you really want real relationships, it's a whole different world. Now, can you imagine, gentlemen, if you were, ladies and gentlemen, there was just a screen up here and you had Kamenetsky talking on a screen from somewhere else, as opposed to me being here and like being able to interact with you and you see what's on my face, you can feel a little bit my energy and my passion from this. If I'm talking on a screen, it's a whole different experience. So number one, relationships are so different. It was mentioned already, attention span. The more hours you spend on your phone during the day, it's just a fact, the less your attention span is going to be to do difficult tasks, to be able to sit and focus and to address challenging tasks. This is true about learning Torah. It's true about, focusing on having to make a real estate deal and being a lawyer and going through 75 clauses in a contract to be able to accomplish some kind of complicated purchase. Or so many jobs are going to require focus, long-term focus and attention. Learning needs it. So attention span is big. I was mentioning it before also. And this is a word that we try to speak a lot about in education. Can someone try to describe, and you really all said it already before, but can someone try to describe how does technology affect one's authentic self. One's being able to be your authentic self, who you really are. In what way does technology sometimes affect you being real or you being authentic? Does it affect it in some way? Remind me of your name.
Ari Contreras.
Ari.
Yeah, I would say...
From Heschel.
Yes. I would say it affects your authenticity because a lot of what you say is really affected by the way you say it, not just the content of what you say. And over text, when someone says it, it's the same thing as anyone else could say it because it's just like text on a screen.
It's just words. It's just text on a screen. But as we talked before in the relationships piece, because one of the things that you lose is your own creative, your own authentic voice. Yeah, what do you say, David?
Your reliability on yourself, like you rely on yourself less when you have technology.
Right. In other words, and again, we'll get a little bit into ChatGPT. I didn't want the whole thing to be about it. I asked some of my friends in preparation for this talk. I asked some of my colleagues and some of my friends, you know, what are your thoughts on how technology has changed schools? And there's someone who I'm very close with, who's the director of student activities in our school, And he was saying that he feels like people's own creativity, people's own ability to think creatively, like, when you now know, like, if I need an idea for something, boom, you just type it in and say, give me an idea of this. Give me an idea of what to write my paper on. Give me an idea. Just we're selling ourselves short about what we could actually come up with on our own. About what we could, who are we really? What do we really think? We're sort of cutting ourselves out from our own ability to be authentic, to be real, and to be creative. So many of us, this friend of mine who I was talking about is Rabbi Natan Farber. He's a really unbelievably talented guy. So this Rabbi Farber, every year on Purim, he puts on this incredible, you know, Purim skit. He puts on an incredible Purim spiel. And he was saying to me, how did he get that talent to do that? Because when he was in high school, so we asked all the kids to, like, prepare a skit, put something on. And he had to think about something, and he had to come up with it on his own, and he would figure it out, and he would think, whoa, what's a funny thing to do? And he realized he had a talent. But he said, like, if I went to high school now, I wouldn't even give myself the chance to think about it. I would just plug it into ChatGPT and say, like, tell me what would be a good skit to do with these fun. I don't even realize, I wouldn't ever even be able to realize the talents that I have. I'm selling myself short. How do you guys feel? I'm curious about this also. Do you find that kids are getting involved in extracurricular activities more than they did 3-4 years ago or less? Do you find people are getting more involved in activities outside of school? Let's leave sports out of it because I think sports has been a constant. I think that kids are still involved in sports. I don't think that this is... But I'm talking about other kinds of, I don't know, different teams. Or what do you say, Elio Tzvi Nachman? Is it people involved in it more or less?
I think more.
You think more?
I think there's more like opportunities and for like people to get involved in more kinds of things.
Really? Like which kind of things? Which kind of things?
I'm saying like there's like someone who's not necessarily like so good at something can still do it because they have more access to it online.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay. Anyone else? You see kids involved in extracurriculars more or less? Just tell me what your name is.
J.J. Hartman.
J.J. Hartman from the yeshiva?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's definitely less because a lot of kids, like, they just don't want to, like, do anything else. They just want to go back to their phone and start scrolling.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. I couldn't agree with that more, J.J. My experience has been seeing kids involved less. Like, we would used to do things in school, like we'd do a color war or something. We would have, like, a color war activity, and, like, they used to be really good. People used to do it, and now, you know why we haven't run in 2-3 years? Because we fear that if we run a color war, most of the school will just go home and just not participate, go home, and just they want to go back to their phones. J.J., I could not agree with that more. So we talked about authenticity. Just even, and you're saying about that, J.J., just like being present. Like, what did it take for so many of you just to want to come here and be present? And just take the world in. Just know what's going on. Just enjoy the world. we have out here, I don't even know if people appreciate it, but like this Kollel is situated in an area which has some of the most breathtaking, gorgeous views that you will ever see in your lifetime. How many of us like even stop to notice them, to notice it? Wow, Hachavas Hadas, how amazing is it? But we're so like living a life of like needing to run to the next thing, needing to scroll to the next thing, needing to find the next thing and spend so much time. We don't give ourselves time to just like appreciate, to just live in the moment. Live in the moment, be here. Yeah, just remind me your name. I'm sorry, I forgot. Eli Reich. Okay. From where? Yeah, yeah. Where are you going to school?
Hey,
yeah, okay, Eli.
So, more like the attention span thing, it's also related a little bit to the color war thing where he was saying how things don't excite people as much because the adrenaline they get from looking at their phone, the adrenaline I get from looking at my phone is not what you would get at looking at the sunset over here. So it's not like you need more excitement in your life, which makes you less excited to do like fun stuff.
Yeah, I think that is a very, very wise comment. I think that's very wise. People are like entertained so much by their phones that there's constant content being thrown at you every second. So in order to get excited, people need like stuff being thrown at them every second. That's what's exciting because it has ramped up that sense of excitement about what people need for excitement. Do you remind me your name?
Yedidya Nachbar.
Yedidya Nachbar from Tinek, yeah. Where you go to school?
I think that like I know that before I got a phone, like I was able to like find stuff to do and be like off and stuff like that. But I think once I got a phone, like since I just be able to turn to my phone and have stuff to do, like being like I'm out of like less creative, I have like, less hobbies now, and like it's harder to like
Wow, that's incredibly honest of you to share that. Incredibly honest of you. And I hear that from a lot of people. I always go back to the one kid who, like, in the old days, this goes back 3-4 years ago. So one kid got his phone taken away for a week. He got his phone taken away for a week, this kid. So whatever, at the beginning he's like all upset. And whatever, he got through it. So at the end of the week, we went over to him and I said, you know, how was the week? He said, this was the most productive week I ever had in my life. The most important, I taught myself piano, I taught myself this. I all of a sudden had all this extra hours I didn't even know I had. And like he said, like it was like liberating. It was liberating because in a certain sense, we're slaves to it. We're slaves to it. So, okay, one or two last points and then we're gonna wrap it up. How many of you attend a school where you are allowed to use, or the school might even provide for you, like a Chromebook or a laptop in the classroom. You use it in the classroom. Everybody. Wow. Everyone uses a laptop in the classroom. How many people feel that having a device, a laptop, a Chromebook in the classroom has been a positive thing for their education? Okay. Close to half. How many people feel that having a laptop or a Chromebook or something in the classroom is a major league distraction in terms of helping you learn? A little less than half. So I'll share with you a little story about what happened to me in my classroom. So about 3-4 years ago, maybe it was like right after COVID. So all of a sudden, kids were getting, we decided we're going to give everybody Chromebooks. Everyone's have a Chromebook. And I saw in my shiur, my Gemara class, I see every kid has a Chromebook open. And I said, wow, this is amazing. All 20 guys in the shiur, 20, 25 guys, they're all typing and they're all typing notes together. And this guy gets this point. And wow, they're all going to have the same set of notes. Like one of the positives was every kid automatically, right away in real time, had the best set of notes of the best kid in the class. Everyone had them. That was like the first year. And then the following year, I noticed the guys got a lot smarter. Instead of everybody contributing to the notes, basically, there were 24 guys in the class. One guy was typing notes, and the other 23 were just watching this one smart kid in the class type all the notes. And that's when Kamenetsky said, shut the... So the first year was great. And I actually saw the grades of the kids rise the first year because Everybody was contributing. Everybody was involved in the doc. They were all talking and they were all collaborating, and it was amazing. But then the year after that, it was just like one kid typed, and everybody just spent the entire class watching this one kid type all the notes in. And when you're passive, when you're just watching somebody else type notes and you're passive, you're learning a lot less. So the classroom, and we talked about it. We'll summarize this in a couple of minutes. But let's. What do you think is the number one trait that a person has to have in order to be successful in life? What do you think the number one trait? What do you think is the most important trait for a person to have to be successful in life? I'm curious what you guys think the number one trait that you need. Akiva, what do you say?
Hard work.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Donnie, what are you going to say?
Being productive.
Yeah, 100%. And that's exactly related. Exactly. Hard work. I love that, Akiva. I love that. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says in Tanis, if a person says to you, Yagata umatsasa tamin. Gentlemen, there is nothing in life that you will ever achieve. Nothing in life that you will ever achieve that's worth anything that you will get without hard work. There's nothing in life that you will ever achieve that is worth anything that you will get without hard work. I hate always calling him out, but we have here someone who's currently serving in the IDF, serving in Sahel, and the town official, if one could think about how much effort and energy is involved in being a soldier, in having to be in shape, in having to be sharp, and having to be tough and having to be strong, just now again, lahavdil, every job in the world, any job, anything you're ever going to be successful in, and certainly when it comes to Talmud Torah, to be successful requires hard work. It requires hard work. Nothing you will ever achieve or accomplish in life that's worth anything will be achieved without hard work. Work ethic is something crucial. So if we can figure out a way to help the technology help us work better and work more productively and find more things, then it's awesome. And I think with AI, I mean, again, you guys probably know a lot more about AI than I do, but I certainly see that it has potential to really make us much, much more productive. It has potential to make us more productive. But hard work, there's no substitute. There is no substitute for hard work. Can anyone, we're getting to the end here, just a couple more minutes, but can anyone give me an example of a time where AI helped you in some very positive way, that you viewed that AI helped you do something that you needed to do? Can anyone tell you? Yeah, Donnie, what do you got?
In the art scroll, some words are like difficult, so I take a picture and I ask to make it the words very simple.
And you found that it explains things well.
It explains the translation in a way.
Beautiful. So you know, beautiful. So you don't need a dictionary, you don't need to open it up, and then you just throw it into AI and it gives you the translation. Beautiful. Fantastic. Someone else, give me an example where AI helped you. I want to try to hear from somebody who I haven't heard from yet. Can I hear from somebody I haven't heard from yet? What's your name?
Eitan
Wiesen. Eitan Wiesen, REJ's son. Okay. His father was in my shiur 34 years ago, my first year teaching. 34 years ago. Yeah. Best regards to your dad, please.
Like with research, it's easy to research stuff, but you can narrow down your search as well.
You can narrow down your searches. It helps your research. Helps your research. Something else. Give me a positive. Yeah. Elio Tzvinachman.
It helps like give you quizzes for like review and for tests.
Right. Write me up a quiz. Here's the material. Write me up a quiz to make sure that I know this stuff well. Beautiful. Fantastic. Can someone give me an example of where maybe AI has been not so helpful? Not so helpful. Negative. Yeah, what do you say, Eliyotzi Nachman?
Finding sources for like Torah.
Finding Torah sources. A lot of times it makes up stuff. It makes up stuff. Well, now you got apparently now Claude hopefully will be a little bit better, or Sofer AI. Okay, last question, then we're just going to wrap it up. Can someone think about certain jobs that exist today that did not exist 10 years ago? Can you tell me a job that exists today that didn't exist 10 years ago? Let's see. I want to hear from somebody who hasn't spoken yet. Can you think of a job that people make money in today that didn't exist 10 years ago? Yo, what do you say?
Investing in crypto.
Crypto, okay. Okay, it's about 10 years, probably exactly that. Yeah, something else, somebody else, a job that, yeah?
AI developers,
there you go. There you go, for sure. AI developers, for sure. Something else. Are schools keeping up with that trend? Are we keeping up? Are schools doing a good job of making sure to keep people current with that? Trying to stay current? What do you think? Emmett says no. The technology is ahead of the schools. Do you guys think it's up to schools to try to stay current with this stuff, to try to figure out what's going to be the next jobs in the next 10 years? Things are changing in such a rapid fashion. We got to keep up with it. So I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. We're not going backwards. You know, we're not going backwards. We can't complain. We can't say, oh, the life is so different. We got to figure it out. We got to stay current. Yeah, Donnie, last comment, then I'm going to wrap it up.
Jobs are being taken rather than new jobs are coming.
In other words, AI is taking people's jobs.
Yeah.
There's definitely a fear of that as well. There's definitely fear of that. In which areas? Which areas do you think AI is taking over people's jobs? That's what they say, computer science. Yeah, my daughter's in computer science. My wife is all nervous that she's not going to have a job.
Tutors.
Okay, actuaries, you think also. My son is an actuary, because so I have a daughter in computers, my son's an actuary. So basically, I'm up a creek. Okay, let's close it off. Let's just review. And again, to me, the biggest take-home is two take-homes. The importance of hard work and the importance of moderation. Technology can be a great thing, but we got to use it in moderation. What are the eight areas that technology affects us in? I believe. So it has the potential to take away our authenticity, our being real, our being sincere, our being present. Being authenticity is related to being present. In a relationship particularly, to be present, to be there, is much more real, and you can connect much better with somebody when you're present, when you talk to them face to face. It's not like on some screen. We talked about attention spans, that the more you're clicking and clicking, and we didn't really mention this, but one of the things I'm trying to talk about, moderation, is I believe very strongly, and that's why I love the fact that on Kolo we try to keep the phones away from the base. Because in the base you need to be able to be present and focused and talking to your chavrusa, not checking every second. If you're checking every second, you're not going to be fully present. You're not going to be able to be thinking about it. So moderation. Relationships. Creativity. On the one hand, AI can help us with creativity, but on the other hand, it's going to stifle our creativity, because instead of you thinking about what you want to do, you're just going to consult with that. Extracurricular activities. There's a lot of healthy outlets, but now some guys pointed out it's so exciting. What you get on the phone is so much more exciting than Color War, so then why is the school going to have anything? So we have to think about how we can still maintain our creativity and use the technology and creativity and not limited and just end up just scrolling the whole time. We talked about the effect on the classroom. If everybody has about, most guys felt that having a device in front of you in class, and again, I'll tell you, our school's gone all the way back in the other direction. Basically, in most classes, we're going to outlaw the devices, because you just don't feel they help with your learning. It's just, you're going to be on ESPN the whole time, or you're going to be just checking the scores or checking your WhatsApps the whole time. You're not going to learn anything. And again, we spoke about work ethics. So in sum, schools have definitely changed in the last 34 years. Technology is a big piece of that change. There is no question it's a big piece of that change. I'm not one of those people who believes to say, oh, it's terrible, you have to get rid of it, and I don't believe that. I think we have to figure out how to use it in moderation, use the positives, not to get rid of it totally, but use the positives. There are some people, there's one Rebbe in our yeshiva who still doesn't have a cell phone. There's one Rebbe in our yeshiva who still doesn't have a cell phone. That's a yotzim in a klal. I don't think that that's really an attainable goal for most people. But I hope and pray that Hashem gives us the wisdom to be able to separate what became the greatest gift for the Jewish people. Shabbos. Shabbos is a day to separate, a day to just be with your family, be with your with Hashem, to be able to not have to check every few seconds. And I hope that we have the strength to use this in moderation, be able to live productive lives filled with being present and hard work and being real and being authentic. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you so much for listening.